The children looked at one another. "What things?" Violet asked. "Why, your luggage, of course," Aunt Josephine replied. "And I hope you brought some food, because the supplies I brought are almost gone."
"We didn't bring any food," Klaus said.
"No food?" Aunt Josephine said. "How in the world are you going to live with me in this cave if you didn't bring any food?"
"We didn't come here to live with you," Violet said.
Aunt Josephine's hands flew to her head, and she rearranged her bun nervously. "Then why are you here?" she asked.
"Stim!" Sunny shrieked, which meant, "Because we were worried about you."
"Stim is not a sentence, Sunny," Aunt Josephine said sternly. "Perhaps one of your older siblings could explain in correct English why you're here."
"Because Captain Sham almost had us in his clutches," Violet cried. "Everyone thought you were dead, and you wrote in your will and testament that we should be placed in the care of Captain Sham."
"But he forced me to do that," Aunt Josephine whined. "That night, when he called me on the phone, he told me he was really Count Olaf. He said I had to write out a will saying you children will be left in his care. He said if I didn't write what he said, he would drown me in the lake. I was so frightened that I agreed immediately."
"Why didn't you call the police?" Violet asked. "Why didn't you call Mr. Poe? Why didn't you call somebody who could have helped?"
"You know why," Aunt Josephine said crossly. "I'm afraid of using the phone. Why, I was just getting used to answering it. I'm nowhere near ready to use the numbered buttons. But in any case, I didn't need to call anybody. I threw a footstool through the window and then sneaked out of the house. I left you the note so that you would know I wasn't really dead, but I hid my message so that Captain Sham wouldn't know I had escaped from him."
"Why didn't you take us with you? Why did you leave us all alone, by ourselves? Why didn't you protect us from Captain Sham?" Klaus asked.
"It is not grammatically correct," Aunt Josephine said, "to say, leave us all alone by ourselves. You can say, leave us all alone, or leave us by ourselves, but not both. Do you understand?"
The Baudelaires looked at one another in sadness and anger. They understood. They understood that Aunt Josephine was more concerned with grammatical mistakes than with saving the lives of the three children. They understood that she was so wrapped up in her own fears that she had not given a thought to what might have happened to them. They understood that Aunt Josephine had been a terrible guardian in leaving the children all by themselves in great danger. They understood, and they wished more than ever that their parents, who never would have run away and left them alone, had not been killed in that terrible fire which had begun all the misfortune in the Baudelaire lives.
"Well, enough grammar lessons for today," Aunt Josephine said. "I'm happy to see you, and you are welcome to share this cave with me. I don't think Captain Sham will ever find us here."
"We're not staying here," Violet said impatiently. "We're sailing back to town, and we're taking you with us."
"No way, Jose,"
Aunt Josephine said, using an expression which means no way and has nothing to do with Jose, whoever he is.
"I'm too frightened of Captain Sham to face him. After all he's done to you, I would think that you would be frightened of him, too."
"We are frightened of him," Klaus said. "But if we prove that he's really Count Olaf, he will go to jail. You are the proof. If you tell Mr. Poe what happened, then Count Olaf will be locked away, and we will be safe."
"You can tell him, if you want to," Aunt Josephine said. "I'm staying here."
"He won't believe us unless you come with us and prove that you're alive," Violet said.
"No, no, no," Aunt Josephine said. "I'm too afraid."
Violet took a deep breath and faced her frightened guardian. "We're all afraid," she said firmly. "We were afraid when we met Captain Sham in the grocery store. We were afraid when we thought that you had jumped out the window. We were afraid to give ourselves allergic reactions, and we were afraid to steal a sailboat, and we were afraid to make our way across this lake in the middle of a hurricane. But that didn't stop us."
Aunt Josephine's eyes filled up with tears. "I can't help it that you're braver than I," she said. "I'm not sailing across that lake. I'm not making any phone calls. I'm going to stay right here for the rest of my life, and nothing you can say will change my mind."
Klaus stepped forward and played his trump card, a phrase which means said something very convincing, which he had saved for the end of the argument. "Curdled Cave," he said, "is for sale."
"So what?"
Aunt Josephine said.
"That means," Klaus said, "that before long certain people will come to look at it. And some of those people," he paused here dramatically, "will be realtors."
Aunt Josephine's mouth hung open, and the orphans watched her pale throat swallow in fear. Okay, she said finally, looking around the cave anxiously as if a realtor were already hiding in the shadows. I'll go.